Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
It is our strong belief that there needs to be a culture of communication that builds a trust throughout this organization. And from the players to the coaches to the management and to the front office, a culture where everybody is pulling in the same direction. When that culture is sacrificed, it becomes extremely difficult to evolve and to grow. And today's decision was about giving this team an opportunity to grow into the future.
That was Gar Forman yesterday at the United Center explaining as best they could the reason for firing Tom Thibodeau, who's out after five seasons and a 650 winning percentage, 647 to be exact. Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com. David Haw and Jen Latta, who's in for the Cap Man, talking Bulls, talking Hawks, talking all things Chicago sports until noon. So, Jen, you made an interesting mention of how Tom Thibodeau might have felt stung by Jerry Reinsdorf's comments. And I can tell you that talking to people yesterday, you know, close to Tom Thibodeau, you're exactly right. Tom Thibodeau considered Jerry Reinsdorf an ally up until probably the beginning, near the beginning of this year. And once a coach gets into a routine, and Tom Thibodeau's routines were relentlessly repetitive and consuming. So he didn't see Jerry Reinsdorf a lot during the season. Jerry Reinsdorf did communicate with management during the season. I think that's where, according to people who are in position to know, their relationship started to not drift, but they just, you don't see anybody. You don't, if you don't see someone for a while, what's going to happen? You're not going to be as in tune with what's going on. Yet, yesterday caught Tom Thibodeau off guard. The only thing that surprised him yesterday, based on people who would know, was that Jerry Reinsdorf was as strong in his language, identifying him as the problem and the guy who polluted the culture in the Bulls organization.
Yeah, and having not spoken to either, I'm just taking this from the Adrian Wojnarowski Yahoo.com article, which says, those close to Thibodeau say that Reinsdorf's statement stung the coach on Thursday, that he had treasured his relationship with the owner. Thibodeau had always admired Reinsdorf's accomplishments, a self-made tycoon, a successful sports and media mogul, and always felt that Reinsdorf had been an ally for him. Reinsdorf wasn't around much, though, and talked far more with management than the coach. Mm-hmm. Thibodeau lost Reinsdorf in the past year and ultimately lost his job.
Adrian Wojnarowski from Yahoo Sports did an excellent job at summarizing the steady descent and the disintegration of the relationship between the front office and Tom Thibodeau. And let's be clear here, this is not a three-hour defense of the Tom Thibodeau era. You know, he had his flaws, and that's why he paid for his flaws. And one of the biggest ones was his inability to communicate with his bosses. Mm-hmm. And you've got to reach a point where, as an employee, you respect the hierarchy to the, even though you may not believe fully in the way that they're managing you, or you believe fully in the philosophy, you have to find a way to get along. And I don't think that he always was able to do that. And I think that there's a passage and a reference to when he took the job in 2010, one of his coaching colleagues said to him, you've got to learn to kiss some babies. You've got to learn to be a politician. Tom Thibodeau doesn't suffer fools very much, very well, and I don't think he ever grasped the political nature of his job as well as he could have.
Well, and I think all of us realize that there is some socialization that goes along with our professions, right? I mean, unless you work in a cubicle where you never interact with another human being and you simply punch
the clock.
Oh, you
mean like a newspaper writer? Somebody writes.
No, even they have to interact with subjects.
No, it's quiet. I'm typing.
And
don't talk to
people.
Me.
But you have to be able to get along with other people. And there are some personalities where it's just more difficult to do so. If you've never learned how to interact with someone, interact with other people, if you feel in your brain that that is a waste of time, takes away time from what you would rather be doing, which in Thibodeau's case was coaching, watching film, you know, elevating players to be the greatest that they could, then yes, there it is difficult to convince your brain to take time to do that.
It's your view of
but
the world,
necessary.
Though, isn't it? Doesn't that relate to just how you treat people and how you view your responsibility to, you know, being courteous to people, being considerate to people? or having a broader view than just your job. That's the thing. I mean, we talked about this before the show a little bit. In many ways, this is very easy to understand. People's greatest strengths often are their greatest weaknesses. And Tom Thibodeau's greatest strength was what? His ability to be myopic, to be maniacally focused on the job at hand, to do your job. And he did his as well as any coach in the NBA. The problem was when he locked the door in his office and he was staying there till, you know, the wee hours of the morning, he never really learned the subtleties of communication and relationships and the work environment. I don't know that you can grind your way through life. I think it's the greatest lesson, though, that, you know, the thing that I struggle with here is that Tom Thibodeau succeeded and his team succeeded because they were a testament to what you learn in sports the first time that you're on any team. Work hard, you'll succeed. Now, Tom Thibodeau worked as hard as any coach in the NBA, and he got fired for it. And that's why I think sometimes people struggle, and he's an easy guy to rally around, right? Because he is the hard worker, hardworking coach. But his greatest strength was his greatest weakness, because he never learned how to do the other side of it, do the other stuff, and to show a softness maybe that people could relate to.
Yeah, I think that when you talk about savants, and I'm not necessarily distinguishing him as a basketball savant, but when you talk about people who are extraordinary in their field, I often think of the musician John Mayer, who most would argue is an incredible musician, an amazing guitarist. But even he is a guy who oftentimes has struggled to interact with other people. Because, again, his brain has that kind of one-track musical mentality. And so when he has conversations with just the average Joes, he's oftentimes speaking at a different level. So the pleasantries and the small talk, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it.
That is why I welcome you to this program. Because Cap would never, ever compare John Mayer and Tom Thibodeau.
But do you understand the parallel?
I know what you're saying. I know. I do. I understand the point. You're saying that basically people who are brilliant at what they do often are given so much of that brilliance. The God-given ability.
Yeah, the nuances of everyday interaction.
At the expense of being able to relate to the rest of the world. And I think that anyone.
Hey, how's your day? How are the kids?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing this weekend?
Well, Jen, though, I was saying but again, not making a judgment. But Tom Thibodeau's life is what? It's basketball. Mm-hmm. And anybody who is in a career, you know, both of us included, you know that when you were just doing that career, sometimes other things suffer. You know, it's very hard. I had a conversation walking in. It's very hard to parent sometimes when you're trying to do everything professionally, right? And it's at the expense of your personal life sometimes, or the time that you're able to spend with your family. Tom Thibodeau didn't have a family, doesn't have any kids, doesn't have a wife, doesn't have that part of the those concerns that most other people do. So he's all pouring into this, and sometimes you don't understand what you don't know what you don't know. And I don't think he ever realized what you're talking about, that he had to be, you know, somebody who suffered fools, that created small talk. And now we're listening to little John Mayer. How about that? That's nice. And we'll get to your call.
And look, let's not take away the stubbornness aspect of it either. Because when you're very successful at something, you also don't want to be told to do something, to do your job differently.
He was stubborn.
So I'm not saying that, you know, someone would say to him, hey, go shake hands, kiss babies. And he was like, what is shaking hands? What is kissing babies? It wasn't that much. It was also a stubbornness of, I don't necessarily feel like I need to do that because I'm going to win ball games.
If I compare him to Taylor Swift, can we listen to Taylor Swift music for the next break?
I'll see if I can work on that parallel.
Jeff Kelly, John Herb, we will get to you. 312-235-2525. Cap and Haw, Jen Ladd in for the Cap Man. See us in Chicago and WGNplus.com.